Welcome to About That Bible with Every Nation NYC. We're here to help you get more out of that Bible. My name is Ilsa, this is Nathan, and we're going to talk about the Bible. It's as simple as that. Today, we are talking about Abraham and covenant.
Yeah.
Abraham, the father of our faith and covenant. First off, though, Nathan, can you summarize? I'm going to help you.
Please do.
The life of Abraham. Who is Abraham?
Abraham's nobody until God calls him. He says, leave your father's house, come and follow me. I'm going to bless you, multiply you, make you a great nation. And so then we've like set off on this epic journey, God and Abraham. He gets in some fights. He wins some fights.
He wanders about.
He wins some fights saving his nephew, Lot. And then eventually God delivers on his promise and gives him a son. And that's Abraham's life.
And then he starts being the family that leads to Jesus, basically. So Abraham, he gets these promises with God. And we call that covenant in the Christian circles.
Yes.
Could you help us out? What on earth is
Judeo-Christian that? Circles.
Yes.
A covenant is an agreement between, well, just any two people, really. It was a promise, and it was typically done with an exchange of goods.
Stuff.
Or, yeah.
Is it like more binding than a promise?
It's like a formalized promise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like we have one.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And there was some exchanges of stuff.
Yeah, rings.
Not a dowry.
Thanks for this. That was good.
Yeah.
So what is, can you like help us out? Like what does Abraham promise? What are they exchanging goods with God? Abraham?
Yeah. So the first one that we encounter. So first God just calls Abraham out and he says, leave your father's house. And Abraham starts following him. It's shortly thereafter that God then promises specifically an offspring. He says before, I'll make you a nation, but then he promises specifically it's going to be an offspring.
To be clear, at this point, Abraham, quite old.
Yeah, he's 75 when God calls him.
No kids.
And no kids. So
at that point, no
kids. Pretty sure it's a done deal that he's going to have no kids.
Yeah.
But God then makes it clear, like, no, it's going to be an offspring, your offspring. And Abraham continues on for a while. It's about 10 years later, I think, that God formalizes the covenant with him in Genesis chapter 15.
Does it give us dates?
It gives us age.
Okay. Ages.
And so I think it says 10 years later. And then by the time Abraham has his son Isaac, he's actually 100.
Oh man. So yeah,
so he does wait 25 years from the time of calling to the time of delivery.
So the covenant with God that Abram has is, or Abram at the time, is for what things mainly?
So God promises that he's going to make Abram a great nation, that he's going to bring him a son, that he's going to bless him with land.
Yeah.
And that through this blessing, he's going to be a blessing to many nations.
Okay.
A blessing to the world.
So we're going to take a break, but we'll come back and we'll talk about Abraham and children,
mm-hmm.
Abraham and the land, and Abraham and blessing.
Sounds good.
Great.
So if you are looking for a church, I'd like to talk a little bit about the church that I lead and I'm a part of called Every Nation NYC. There you can know God, grow together, discover your purpose, and make a difference. We exist for you. We are found in central Manhattan, and you can find more information at everynationnyc.org. There you'll find service times and our locations, as well as other events that we have on offer. I hope that we can see you at one of our services coming up.
Now we're back. So, Abraham, what is Abraham's walk with children? Because he doesn't have children for a long time, but God shows up and gives him a promise.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah, so God promises Abraham children, and it seems like he does not deliver for quite a while.
Yeah.
And So around the 10-year mark, Abraham's wife, Sarai, at the time, takes matters into her own hands and says, well, I've got this her servant.
To be fair, she does this straight after one of the covenants, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's God cuts a formal covenant with Abraham. It's very formalized in Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis 16, boom.
There's a reason that they sit right beside each other in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then what happens with Sarah?
Sarah offers her servant to Abraham, says, here, sleep with this woman and let's see if we can make a baby that way.
So she's trying to get right into the covenant. Or like make the covenant happen her own way.
Yes. Yeah. She's trying. She manipulates. She manipulates the covenant. And tries to find a loophole in it.
Which, by the way, I actually kind of like about the story, because you're like, oh yeah, I totally do that. Right? Mm-hmm. You get a promise from God and then you try and like.
Yeah.
Oh, this is maybe what he means. Point. Like, this is what he means when he says that. He doesn't mean I'm going to have a baby. He just means maybe, like, you know, Abraham's going to have a kid.
Explain how we might do that in a real life circumstance. Hopefully nobody's like offering their.
No, it didn't mean like that. Well, you know, but there are times where we get a promise from God and we think, well, maybe this is what he means when he says that. Like, he can't mean fully like the full miracle that I'm imagining. He maybe just means that I'm going to, you know, I can't think of an actual example right now. This is not helpful.
So in some way, settling for less.
Yes. Yeah. And we try and make up what the promise might mean. Mm-hmm.
We could probably potentially do that often with like a spouse or something like that. Yeah. We have.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, we could just settle.
Definitely potential all over the place to settle in our lives. For less than what God has promised us.
Yeah. But in the end, God makes a way. He makes his way with Abraham and Sarah.
He does. So Abraham does sleep with this woman, Hagar, Sarai's servant, maid. And they make a baby, call him Ishmael. And God makes it very clear. Abraham kind of like almost brings him to God. God appears to him again. He's like, well, here's my son. And God says, not that one. And that's actually when God cuts a second covenant with Abraham. And this one is the covenant of circumcision. The first one was all these animals. Abraham chops all these animals in half. And this one, Abraham gets chopped himself. It's very personal.
Ah. Oh, so it almost like drives it deeper.
I'm sure it felt a lot more personal for Abraham just on the second round.
Not what I meant, Abraham. Not what I meant.
And so that very distinguishes Ishmael, not in the covenant, and Isaac, who is now the product of this circumcised Abraham, is part of the covenant cut.
Sarah's son.
And he's Sarah's son.
And yes. She gets pregnant.
I think 90 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it's a miracle.
And then the rest of the Bible goes through how there's a whole line and there's a whole bunch of families that come from.
Yes. We are waiting on that promised seed of the woman from Genesis 3 when God preaches the gospel to Satan in Genesis 3 to the snake, says there's going to be an offspring of this woman. And so the Bible has these full, genealogies all the time, genealogies, and it's saying that the promised one is coming.
Yeah.
And they're all summed up in Jesus, and there's no from the start of Matthew and Luke, there's no more genealogies in the New Testament.
It was just Jesus.
They've been summed up. Yeah.
So we've got the promise of Isaac, and then there's also a promise to do with the land. And what is a covenant to do with the land? What's that?
Yeah, there's a God promises Abraham that that he's got this land for him, that it's going to be his land, and today's the land of Israel, modern day Israel.
But he doesn't get it, right?
That's true. He does not get it. He does not see. I mean, he sees it, but
does he live?
He does not own it.
Does he like walk around and live on it? Like
yes.
He's like a kind of nomadic.
He's in it, but he's living a nomadic life. He's shepherding, he's herding his flocks there. By the end of his life, he buys a small piece of it.
Okay.
And he buries his wife Sarah there, or Sarah there. And that's it.
That's it. All he sees of it. Mm-hmm. But when you read the Bible again, you see where his people get to inherit it.
Yes.
Oh, that's a bummer though, isn't it? This promise from God and he didn't see it.
He was faithful in the meantime. And I think that this is like really important. So oftentimes Christians see their life and all of God's promises hinging on their immediate future. So if it doesn't happen the next week, if it doesn't happen in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, God makes promises that are bigger than our life, bigger than even our lifespan. He's thinking generationally. He's thinking long-term. And so oftentimes we can live with a level of disillusionment because we were just not patient or did not have a big enough scope. So God's covenants, he means these things. They're deep. They're meaningful. He's going to deliver, but he does not always deliver.
Right in the next thing. 6 months.
I'm going to find a scripture verse from the New Testament that talks to this.
Oh, nice.
So here's the scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. I'm going to read verse 13 and 16. For these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And then it goes on to talk about how Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. So the context is all about Abraham and Sarah, how they saw the land, but they didn't possess it. But even so, God was preparing for them a city. And what's funny is that that's not even fulfilled in the conquest of Israel. It's fulfilled much, much later and is still yet to be fulfilled when the city of Jerusalem will come down. Revelation chapter 20, I think.
Oh, man. So you're like the covenant. You're saying the covenant of Abraham is not yet completed?
The covenant continues.
Oh. Yeah. Like ongoing. Okay. And then the last bit, they talk about how he's going to be a blessing to
He's going to be a blessing. Abraham's going to be a blessing to the nations, and so it's hard to do when you don't have any land and you don't have any great resources. You don't have any children, and God brings to Abraham this child, and it's through Isaac and through the generations that follow that the people of Israel are going to come about, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. And it's from them that we get the Messiah, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so God has this plan all along to bring his son into the world, to bring Jesus into the world, to be a blessing. So when we look at this as well, like if you consider Christianity and its global spread, particularly if you have like a global mindset, Christianity is not held in any one ethnicity. It's not held in any one single culture. It's a truly global religion. It's not tied to North America or Europe or South America. There's millions of Christians in Asia. There's millions of Christians in Africa, millions of Christians in South America, North America, and Europe. Yeah. It's truly global.
And that all comes from the covenant with Abraham.
That is. That's the promise of God that he made thousands of years ago to Abraham.
To one man.
That we would all be blessed through him. And so that's why we call him the father of our faith.
And on that note, that was About That Bible with Every Nation NYC. Don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at About That Bible. And if you're interested in Every Nation NYC, you can go to everynationnyc.org and you can find all our service times on there. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.